The opinions expressed on the ACB Media Network are those of the content providers and should not be viewed as an endorsement of any product or service. Nor does it reflect the views of the American Council of the Blind, its elected officials, or its staff.
So, welcome everyone to our second general session. I'm Rob Turner, second vice president. I'm presiding this evening. And I want to begin by thanking our committee, the technology committee, whose session this is. And we've got Larry and John Gaspin. We've got John Glass and myself. And Andrea is, we're co-chair. Andrea and me are co-chair. And I want to apologize for the a little bit of a mix-up. We didn't get our latest information to the convention program, unfortunately. So I sent a note out today. I hope many of you saw it. What we're going to be doing this evening is we're going to have Larry and John have an old-time radio presentation. They're going to talk about how things have changed over the years and talk about sound and so forth. And then I have a presentation that I developed on the LISI program, which is a productivity tool that works in conjunction with JAWS, written by a guy named Brian Hartgen, who's pretty well known. Then we're going to have an open forum hosted by John Glass. And if time permits, we're going to have a little, also have a little talk about the Braille, the BT Speak from Blazy Technologies. Or Blazy Technology. And so that's the program. And I hope we can make it interesting. And I hope you guys have lots of good questions for us during the open forum. So, Larry, are you able to play your recording now, or do I need to stop my screen share?
Oh, no, I won't need it. I'm good.
We're ready.
Okay, here we go. Good evening and welcome to the CCB event having to do with technology. We're going to talk a little bit about the old-time radio programs. I'm John Gassman, and Larry is with me as well. And for those who grew up on music on the radio, maybe you don't know that before music, there was old-time radio, meaning the radio shows, much like what you see on television, only I think a whole lot better, because you really needed to use your imagination with the radio drama and variety comedy shows, and news, of course, in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. And a lot of that still exists today. I'm sure we're missing a lot of it. Some of it wasn't preserved or saved, but a lot of it was. And so Larry and I, and a lot of others, of course, began collecting the shows back in the early 1970s, and eventually got to the point where we had enough content to play the shows on the air. We've been doing that since about 1979, 1980, both locally in the Southern California area, non-commercially, and then beginning in 2010 via internet. And now we're on all over the place on the internet shows, playing the old-time radio programs, interviewing the people that are still left who did the shows, and there aren't many. And of course, we have recordings of a lot of the people that we interviewed on behalf of various organizations that we belong to. And those interviews consist of the memories of the radio personalities who did the shows. So we have a lot of stuff chronicled and archived over the years. I want to dispel a myth before we get started. And that myth is, oh my gosh, this stuff was done in the 30s and 40s. It's got to sound like garbage because it's old. I want to tell you, while that may have been true years ago, it is no longer true with the technology that we have today. I can play Orson Welles shows, for example, from his library, and a lot of other things that sound pristine, just as good as anything you'd find today.
Makers of Campbell Soups present The Campbell Playhouse. Orson Welles, producer.
Most recently, Bull Venture with Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall and Boston Blackie were remastered from the original discs. You can't tell how old those shows are because they sound so pristine. You don't hear anything like record scratch or any defects at all. They are absolutely digitally wonderful.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture.
The age-old myth about age having to do with what something should sound like is absolutely ridiculous and no longer true. And we have, throughout the years that we've been doing this, gone about finding the best sound quality we could for the shows that we collect. And I want to tell you, you know, while not everything is pristine, I'd say, what, 95% is? And if it isn't, when we get it, we go looking for the best sound quality available. And people today are archiving the materials with the best sound quality possible. So there's a lot of wonderful sound between the 1930s and 40s and what we listen to today. We've come a long way.
Now, with all that being said, we're here to talk about technology then versus technology today. And also we'll talk about where you can hear some of these old-time radio shows. So let's talk about technology. One of the things that John and I have been doing for years is we've done a program called Tech Talk on accessibleworld.org. And in December of last year, I thought about doing a show about this very subject. And it was one of the most popular things that we've ever done. And we played a show, which we will play a portion of, that had to do with tape recorders and dubbing and splicing, things that we don't do today. It's all done digitally. But back then, you needed tape and you needed a pair of scissors, etc. So the engineers of a CBS radio workshop called I Have Three Heads put together a show describing what engineers did back then in the 1950s with regard to radio. I want to play a little of that for you, not all of it, but just to give you a sense of how they did things back then.
Passing tape over three heads, one for erasing, one for recording, the third for playback.
And the CBS Radio Workshop, dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind, presents I Have Three Heads, a study of the techniques, the possibilities, and the improbabilities of tape recording. Today's workshop was conceived and created by CBS radio engineer Mort Goldberg. In today's workshop,
Mr. Goldberg has been aided and abetted by... hey, hold on.
Slow down, wait a minute. Too fast. Too...
That was Stu Metz. Nice guy, but loves to talk, like all announcers. Aided and abetted by... Aided and abetted by a writer, a director, a... Who needs him? All you need for a good bang-up tape job is a good engineer like Morty and a trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly tape machine like me. That's all you need. Morty and I, we put our heads together. His one head and my three, and we can do anything. Yes, sir, anything. I'm Howard Ampex, Model 200. And you?
Gerald Ampex, Model 350.
We must be cousins.
Distant, I'm sure.
Wait till this time tomorrow. Wait till you've worked 12, 14 hours steadily. Fast forward, rewind, stop, edit, fast forward, stop, edit, fast forward, dub, loop, rewind. I hope I'll see you after a week.
There was a...
What's that? A voice on the tape room floor. Just part of a day's work. An hour's work, more or less.
It took a whole hour to get that?
Let me explain. This morning, Morty came in with a fella named George Vikas. Produces a show called Update. Vikas and Morty had a German student on a piece of tape.
I got to know a few students. My own impression from America students was that there was a...
Now, Gerald, is that clear?
That there's more...
Well, it's rather hard to get the drift.
Of course it was. With radio, people are listening on small sets. People are listening in cars. Things have got to be very clear. You play something like that, all over the country, people think something's wrong with their radio.
So how did you save the country?
What? Oh, Morty and I go to work. Morty wants to start at the beginning of the student's words, so he punches me into rewind. Here we are, back at the beginning. Morty punches my start button, and the tape starts unreeling from the feed reel to the take-up reel. It passes by my three heads, one for erasing, the second for recording the sounds and words that are fed into it, and the third for playing back what's already on the tape. It's this third, the playback head we're using now as we catch the student's first words.
I got to know a few students.
Morty punches my stop button. Back we go to find that
What's that very odd noise?
Manual operation. Morty's working the machine by hand.
Well, really, by hand?
You'll have many a hand laid on you before you go back to maintenance for your first checkup. And many a razor blade, too.
Razor blade?
We're coming to that. Morty's found the Now he opens the gate, exposing the heads. He marks the spot for the cut. You'll hear him dropping the pencil.
Where's the razor blade?
My boy, never let it be said we tape machines give any external evidence of the anxiety, the pain, the shock of having a sharp razor blade passed across us a dozen times an hour. The next sound you hear will be the snick of the splicing tape, the tape machine's band-aids. Then the tape is put back in the gate is closed, and we're off again.
My own.
What happened to the words you were editing?
This is a pro job, son. Morty goes on to tighten the space between the words my and own. There you have it. Now you'll hear what Morty's edited so far. Taking out the tightening the space between the my and own.
A few students. My own... impression.
Uh-oh. Another to come out. And an im from that impression. So Morty makes a mark after my own, pulls the tapes by hand this time, and marks the tape ready to cut after the first im.
Now that was a 6-minute excerpt of a 30-minute program, and it gave you an idea as to how they edited back in the 50s. With razor blades and scissors. Today we do it digitally. Today we do it with sound editors, digital audio stations. And it's faster, quicker, and seamless. And you don't hear any kind of an issue. It's very good. Those days of doing it that way were cumbersome, but that's all we had. Today, with regard to old-time radio, we have the ability, because of the internet primarily, to listen to a vast array of old-time radio programs, if that's what you're interested in.
If you want to build a collection these days, you can do it almost immediately with the material that's on the internet.
Within a few hours.
When we got started, I mean, you sent reels back and forth to people and traded. It took a long time to build a collection.
Yeah, now you upload and download, and it's done in a matter of hours. We are building a resource list that we will give you if you would like to write us. It's very simple. I have a myriad of email addresses, but the easiest one to get me on is LarryGassman@yesterdayusa.com or JohnGassman@yesterdayusa.com.
Gassman is spelled G-A-S-S-M-A-N.
And by the way, since April of 2000, Jonathan Mosen began ACB Treasure Trove on ACB Radio, now ACB Media 3. That has come to an end. Jeff Bishop is no longer able to host it due to so many other things going on, including bits. And so Rick and I had a conversation, and he said, you know of anybody who could take it over? In essence, I said yes. John and I have had our radio show, same time, same station, devoted to old-time radio since 1980. And we've also been with Yesterday USA since 1986. We are still with them. We do nightly shows with Walden Hughes. And so what we're doing is providing the signal of our Yesterday USA Red Network. We have several of them, but this one is the Red Network. And we're simulcasting that signal with ACB Media 3. So you are able to hear old-time radio shows. You'll hear us do live shows, plus others as well. All you have to do is go to ACB Media 3, and you'll hear it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That will also be listed on the list of resources as well. We have bunches of them. And that's the easiest way to do it because we can't do all of that in 15 minutes. So if you like old-time radio, there's plenty of it on the internet, and we're happy to share.
We hope you've enjoyed our look at old-time radio then and now. And if you have questions, we'll hang around until the end of our get-together this evening and be happy to answer those questions. Now back to our regularly scheduled technology committee.
Well, thank you guys very much. What a fascinating show. And I'm amazed at the original, how well they can master those older shows. My gosh, those that really came in very clearly. We're going to have an open forum. My presentation about the Leesy product lasts about 15 minutes. Do you think we should? I hope it's okay to go ahead and play that. Maybe do a door prize right after that, and then go into the open forum. Anybody?
That's fine.
Everybody okay with that?
Sure.
Now let's do it. Let's do it then.
A few years ago, I heard about a program called Leesy. It's a productivity tool. It works in conjunction with the JAWS screen reader. It's written by Brian Hartgen from Wales. And I found it to be very helpful in terms of getting things done. So I'm going to cover the basics here today just to give you a feel for the program. There's so many features I could only begin to scratch the surface. There's no possible way that I could cover everything. And since I can't cover everything, I'm just going to focus on the features that I tend to use the most. But before I do that, let me talk a little bit about Leesy's documentation. It's very well documented. You can download the document in three different formats. You've got HTML, RTF, and DAISY text only. You can also read the documentation through Leesy itself. And he has tutorials that he calls Leesy Bytes. So here are some of the options that are available with Leesy Bytes. Introduction and getting started. That's going to talk about the Leesy key and basically how the product works. There are two versions of the product, advanced and basic. I'm only covering the advanced part. Leesy Basic is designed for the beginner computer user. Introduction and getting started, that's going to explain about the Leesy key, hotkey help, which I'm going to cover some of the hotkeys, selecting text and what you can do with it, Leesy texts, Leesy clips, Leesy search. He has an introduction that explains how searching works, and it's very convenient the way he's got it set up. You can search Google, YouTube, Amazon, eBay, and recipe. Temperature, holidays, calculator, dictionaries, weather, news, time conversion, convert currency, and so forth. Then we move on to Leesy Cuts, storing favorites as Windows shortcuts, using emoji, Leesy Points, Lisi alerts, sticky notes, virtual notes, productive tools for Word and Outlook, tags in Microsoft Explorer and Microsoft Outlook, the HTML assistant, Markdown, if I only had time, that's about the clock, custom help, custom web text, VLC media player, Lisi with Spotify, radio and podcasts, Windows notifications and smaller features, and backup and restore manager with Lisi Cloud. So as I say, it's loaded with features. The first area that I'll cover are what I call handy hotkeys. The Lisi key is the grave accent key. That's immediately to the left of the number one on the numbers row. Lisi functions or Lisi features, almost all of them are accessed by tapping the Lisi key and then pressing either one key or a key combination. So for example, I'm going to go ahead and change the punctuation level and it'll stick. It'll stay with the way you leave it. So let me show you.
All punctuation, no punctuation, some punctuation, mode punctuation.
So you can see it cycles between the four punctuation options. I often find that I want to change the volume level of my main sound card. I use two sound cards, one for JAWS and one for system sounds. Brian provides a very simple way of changing this volume. You hold down the three keys, Windows, Shift, Control. Those are the three keys. That's easy to do. You can, those keys are all grouped together. And then you can either press the up arrow to increase the volume, the down arrow to decrease the volume. And when you do the up arrow and the down arrow, that changes it in 10% increments. To do it in 2% increments, you hold down those same three keys, Control, Windows, Shift, and then left and right arrow. That only moves it by 2 percentage points. So it's just a finer way of adjusting the volume control. Think of it as having a coarse mode and a fine mode. Another handy feature is say time and date. So for example, if I want to say the time, I can hit the Lisi key and then down arrow. Let's give you an example.
6:30 p.m.
Okay. I can say the date.
Wednesday, March 27, 2024.
Okay. Now, if I want to insert the date or time, I can do Lisi left arrow.
6:30 p.m. has been inserted.
Okay, and I can do Lisi right arrow.
Wednesday, March 27, 2024 has been inserted.
So now I've got the date and the time.
6:30 p.m. Wednesday, March 27, 2024.
Oh, and you might say, well, yeah, but I can always hear the time or I can always hear the date with insert F12. But this allows you to keep your fingers on the home row or close to it. And there are some situations where the F12 key might not be readily available or may be somewhat difficult to find. So this is the kind of thing that Brian does that I think makes his products very useful. If you're in a situation and you need to find out about your computer specifications, Lisi has a really handy way of doing that. If I type the Lisi key and then hold down Control and tap the right bracket key.
Codename colon.
I'm going to stop it there and just kind of read it line by line.
OS name colon Microsoft Windows 1.1 home.
Gives you the name.
OS version colon 1.0. OS manufacturer colon OS configuration colon OS build time colon.
I mean, it just goes on and on. I don't really know how many lines there are, but if there's a spec that's not included here, I'd be surprised. It's really a lot of detailed information. And that's copied to the JAWS virtual viewer. I can copy it to the clipboard, or I can copy certain lines. A lot of possibilities I can do with it. You've already heard me read the content of the clipboard. If I want to clear the clipboard, I can do Lisi key and then Z.
Clipboard clear.
And you can, so that's handy. You can toggle between two modes. Working with the clipboard, you can be in replace mode or append mode. And you do that by holding down the Lisi key and tapping holding control and tapping C.
Append mode.
So now I'm in append mode. So in this mode, every time I copy to the clipboard, the text will be appended. The first time I copy to the clipboard, it'll say copied. Subsequent times copying will say append. So for example, let's say that I wanted to copy
Alabama,
the five Western states and their capitals to the clipboard.
Arizona, Phoenix, copied.
That's been copied. Let's go to California.
Colorado, California.
California. I'll do a shift down arrow to select that.
Appended.
And notice it said appended. And let's just for that, but go down to Nevada.
Nevada, Carson City, appended.
And it's appended. And so I'll go ahead and read the clipboard, and we should hear those three states.
Arizona, Phoenix, California, Sacramento, Nevada, Carson City.
And there we are. So that's another kind of a quick way of working with the clipboard. So here's an example now of a way to select text with Lisi. Let's suppose that I wanted to eliminate the states between California and Nevada. I don't want those in my list. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go down to Colorado.
Colorado, Denver.
There's Colorado.
Home.
I'm going to hit the home key to make sure I'm at the beginning of the line. Then I'm going to do a Lisi followed by comma. So Lisi, comma. And you hear that little sound, kind of like a instrument of some kind. So now let's go all the way down to
New Hampshire, Concord, Nevada, Cars, New Hampshire, Concord.
Okay, so there we are.
Home.
So I'm going to hit the home key there. I'm going to end the selection with Lisi followed by the period. And that's a different sound. So we've got our selection. Now we can, we don't have to do anything with the selection yet. We can do a Lisi slash
Colorado, Denver, Connecticut, Hartford, Delaware, Dover, Florida, Tallahassee, Georgia, Atlanta, Hawaii, Honolulu, Hawaii.
And you can see it's going to read out all the text that's selected. But rather than hear that, let me do delete just so we can confirm. I hit the delete
November
key. And we're now at
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. And if I hit the up arrow,
California, Sacramento,
you can see now we're back to California. So we eliminated all those states. The next Lisi feature I wanted to tell you about is Lisi texts. And what this is it provides a way to insert text into a document with fewer keystrokes than if you were to type the whole text string. And it's quite handy. So what we're going to do is let's go ahead and I've created some Lisi texts already. And the way you do that is you copy the text that you want in the Lisi text, you copy that to the clipboard. And then once that's done, you can do a Lisi followed by T, and it'll prompt you to give that clip a name. So I've already created some Lisi clips. Let me go ahead and do a Lisi followed by L, and that's going to get into the list of clips that I've already created. So let me do that now.
List of Lisi text dialog. List 1, list view. CCB email signature. 1 of 3.
Okay, so you've got CCB email signature.
Home address.
My home address.
Rod.
And ROBT, which is my name. So let's go ahead and insert that into the document. I'll hit enter here.
Enter.
Okay, so it should have been inserted. Let's check it out.
Rob Turner.
There it is. So I've done the same thing. I've got that CCB SIG, that would be something if I were sending out to someone a more of a formal document where they need to know my cell phone, my email, and the fact that I'm second vice president. Let's say that I wanted to type in CCB SIG for CCB signature and insert all that text just with those characters. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and type CCB. In this case, it is case sensitive. You do have to honor the case where that it was entered in. So here's CCB in caps, followed by SIG in lowercase. And then what I do, it's a little strange. hold down the Windows key and tap apostrophe.
CCB email signature inserted.
So you hear it say CCB email signature inserted. Let's go ahead and confirm.
Blackhouse SL Corp. Turner, Washington. Olive Rob Turner.
So it's right below the last, it's right below the state of Washington. Rob Turner.
Turner2 at Comcast.net.
My email address.
Cell:408.
Cell phone. 0,
second vice president. California Council of the Blind.
And there it is. So again, very flexible in terms of the way you can do it. The next feature I want to talk about are called Leasy Clips. For me, that's really the feature I tend to use the most. And the reason I like it, it's basically allows you to set up temporary location for items that you copy from the clipboard. So for example, let's say that I wanted to create a list of the five Western states and their capitals. So what I'm going to do, and go ahead and go to the top of the document.
Alabama.
And this time I'm going to start with Arizona instead of skipping it.
Alaska, Arizona, Phoenix.
So there's Arizona.
Oh.
So I'm going to select that text.
Arizona, comma, Phoenix.
And then I'm going to hit the Leasy key and tap F1. So that copied that text that I selected into that function key. It's associated now with F1. Now, there is an option that would allow me to modify the text if I wanted to, but I tend to turn that off. So the next thing I need to do now is I've got to select California, because that's the next Western state.
Arkansas, Colorado, California, Sacramento.
California.
Home.
So we're going to select California.
California,
and I'm going to copy this into the function key 2. So I press Leasy key, then the function key 2.
Colorado, Denver.
Now I'm going to go ahead and move to Nevada.
Missouri, Nevada, Carson City.
Okay, and I'll associate that with
Nevada, comma, Carson City.
F function key 3, so it's Leasy function key 3. Next, I'll do Oregon and Washington. So there are my five Western states along with their capitals. Next, I'm going to press the Leasy key, and this time I'll hit Shift and then the function key. So when you hit Shift in the function key, it takes the text associated with that function key and it copies it into the document. So we'll go Leasy, Shift F1. Now I'm totally confident that it inserted what I wanted. So I want to go on to a new line now.
Enter.
I'm going to go Leasy, Shift F2.
Enter.
Leasy, Shift F3.
Enter.
Leasy, Shift F4.
Enter.
Leasy, Shift F5.
Enter. Okay. Arizona, California, Nevada, Oregon, Wash, Blank.
What I really like about this feature, it allows a way to not have to do an Alt Tab back and forth as you copy and paste, copy and paste. It's just a very handy way of keeping track of these little text snippets. You can speak the text associated with the function key by holding down Control and tapping that function key. To learn more about Leasy, you can go to HartGen, HartGen.org, and then choose the Visit Leasy Central link. Leasy costs about $70 at the most. I think right now it's actually $67, so pretty reasonably priced. He does charge a smaller fee to upgrade each year. But Brian is continually adding features. He's very responsive to feedback. And I just think it's a very good product. I hope you found this presentation helpful. Thanks for listening.
So now it's time, I think, for a door prize. Let's see if, Lisa, are you able to share your screen?
Okay, I think we're good.
It is.
Okay.
Oh, my name.
Let's do our first door prize of the night. It is a $25 gift card generously provided by the Fresno chapter. Tonight's first winner is Earl Robb. Congratulations,
hey.
Earl. for Earl. Yeah,
congratulations, Earl. Very good. Sarah, do you want to say anything before we start our open forum? Oh, that's okay. I just wasn't sure. I wanted to let it. There she is.
There I am. Well, this is all so interesting. I'm really appreciating the time that you guys have taken to spend with us tonight. And tomorrow we have a lot of good stuff coming up. And I hope that you join us from 1 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. and then again back at 6 p.m. and check with the agenda. All right, everybody, have a good night. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Sarah. Sounds good. And we've got some raised hands, but let's go ahead and turn it over to John Glass. And John will host our open forum session. And not only are we willing to try to answer questions, but if the audience has technology that they think we need to cover, I think we should do that as well. John, go ahead and let me turn it over to you, and we'll go from there.
Okay, Rob. Well, thank you very much. And as of just a couple of minutes ago, I noticed that we have 47 people here. So I'm very, very pleased about that.
Yeah.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome. Rob, what would you like to do with the raised hands? Do you think we have people that would like to ask some questions before we get this started, having to do with the last two presentations, or what do you think we should do?
Yeah, let's go ahead and see what the hands are about, and they may already be interested in the let's see. Let's just go ahead with the raised hands.
Okay, first raised hand is Deborah Armstrong.
Well, my question is for the Gasman guys. I was totally intrigued by that little segment on tape splicing and editing in the old days. I'm old enough to remember blind guys who were really good at splicing tape. And as a kid, I remember trying to do that. And I wasn't very good as a little kid. And so I guess I want to know where I can get all 30 minutes of that program. And thank you. I'm back on mute.
Before you go on mute, I will send it to you. It's that easy.
It's that easy.
It's that easy. I will send it to you probably tonight, so you'll have it.
Oh, you're so sweet. I'm back on mute.
Okay.
I bet we all remember the days of tape splicing.
You know, and I do. I think we were probably just a tad young to actually have done a lot of that. I tried it and wasn't overly successful. It was tough. But a lot of my splicing came when I still had open reel tape, but I was able to do it by ear, that happened a little bit after friends of mine had been doing tons of tape splicing. And of course, now we didn't talk about this, but we have a lot of open reel tape that was done 40 years ago, 50 years ago. And so the splices have in the interim broken. So All of those people who are restoring for us now have to go back in sometimes and resplice every one of those old splices in order to play the tape so that it can be corrected. And
I guess it's a labor of love to restore these things.
You wouldn't think so after an hour and a half of doing that, but you're right.
John, correct. I just want to make a quick comment if I can. When I played my recording, I noticed that Zoom cut out some of the sounds that I had mentioned. And I also, in my presentation, I mentioned that you could read the text with Lisi X. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't mentioned that previously in the recording, I realized. So just a little clarification there.
Next up, we've got Sheila Gunn.
Hey. Mine is a forum thing, so if you want to wait and see if other people have prior questions, I can wait, or do you want me to roll?
Steve, how many more hands do we have raised?
Right now we have no others.
Okay. Well, Sheila, why don't you go ahead, please, and we'll see what we can do to help out.
So mine is more of a comment. It's not a direct, how do you do this and thus in such a program? Although one particular thing that I'm having a problem with is Google has decided that they want to throw trending suggestions at you even after you turn off trending suggestions. And I actually don't mind the personal suggestions, but I don't want the trending ones. And I don't like my screen reader chattering at me as I'm trying to type. It's distracting. That's why I don't have my keyboard talking as it types. I guess I could ask you about that, because I've been through all the forums and everywhere and we can't find it. But I have a bigger issue. I work full time, and I work at an independent living center. And I'm laughing because half the tech in that center is not terribly accessible. Our data system is a program. I mean, I would name it, but it's not something that anybody's going to know. Probably I never heard of it till I got there, and it was not mainstream at all. But we use 8x8, which is a phone system, but it's not very accessible. We use Google Suite, which, depending on what you're talking about, it is or isn't. And there's a lot of inaccessibility, and there's a lot of, okay, we could call it accessible if you want to twist yourself in a pretzel to do it, but we can't. But it's difficult. And I am wishing for CCB to take a concerted effort at fighting for accessibility and doing that kind of work. There's this assumption that as a blind person, I'm supposed to know all the WCAG guidelines and all the stuff that you have to get a certificate in web design to know, you know, and I don't. That's not my job. I'm an emergency preparedness coordinator. I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer. Anyway, a bit of Who and McCoy at the same time. So I would like to know what thoughts there are. That took forever. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I personally am not the one who will have suggestions for this, because it's not an area that I have had much experience, really no experience with. So is there anyone who would like to respond to Sheila with some comments or ideas?
I certainly don't know how to fix the trending suggestions. I haven't experienced that. I don't know what the difference is between my setup and hers and Sheila's. I do think that this is something that we accessibility of websites is something that we really do need to keep our focus on that as much as possible. And I know just today I had a situation where I was testing a restaurant's website and giving feedback. So I think the more that kind of thing we can do, you know, the better. But I also recognize that as I get older, I may not be as up to date on some of the newer technology. So, for example, I'm sure there are blind people who are successfully using something like Google Suite, but I'm not saying it's easy to do. Anybody else have any thoughts?
I don't know that we're all going to have an opportunity to test things. We test what we know for the most part, or we test what we're asked to look at.
Yeah.
I did this for Marriott for 20 years, but I was testing Marriott websites to make sure that the scripts that were written worked. I have since then done side jobs for companies testing based on the knowledge that I have. And they would send me to places on their website and I would look at them. And sometimes they didn't even know that what they had done was actually adding to the problem. And I would tell them what to do what was going on. I wouldn't tell them how to fix it necessarily, but I would show them based on information that I had. I've got lots of stuff that has been put together through accessibility concerns in terms of how to fix things for the website. And I share that with every company that I come in contact with. And some of it's guides, some of it's how to make the website more accessible. And even though I may not be perfectly versed in doing all of that, at least when things have been written by competent blind people or competent people to fix those things, I share those things often. And unfortunately,
yeah, I'm wondering if it,
but it never stops. It never stops. There are so many websites that are not compliant, and maybe they don't even know that they're not compliant, that it's a constant battle. It's an uphill battle. And the only thing we can do is impart knowledge and send them information and hope that they can take that information and use it to make their websites more accessible.
I wonder if a situation like this, a service like Access Technology Services with Steve Clark's ability to write scripts and so forth. I just wonder if that's something that maybe a post-employment situation, if the Department of Rehabilitation might be able to do a little something
to help
with accessibility. I don't know.
We also have
the ins and outs.
We also have an organization. Actually, it's an affiliate committee through American Council of the Blind called Information Access Committee, IAC. And they're constantly working with accessibility. And lots of times they'll get something thrown at them and they'll be asked to test it to see what they can do to help those people fix some accessibility issues. But a lot of it's knowledge. And a lot of it's actually wanting to do something with it after you're given the information.
We have a couple more raised hands. Next up is area code 818.
Hey, you guys. This is Pam. How are you?
We're good, Pam.
Good show.
Good.
Okay, this is for Larry, and I'm fine with you, Rob, but this is for Larry and John. I, number one, want the same dubbing. I loved the dubbing. I thought that was so cute.
Okay. Yeah, and I can only do about 5 minutes of it. There's another 25 minutes of it, so I'll be happy to send it to you.
Yeah, I would love to hear the whole thing.
Okay.
And also, do you guys have a resource list of different stations on the internet that play old-time radio? Ken did it. He got me addicted. So do you have any?
We do. Unfortunately, they do change because, you know, formats change. And so it does change. Mm-hmm. We're putting one together now, and it's still a work in progress. But, yeah, we're going to send that out to people who might be interested.
I would definitely be interested.
Okay.
Me too. Put me on the list.
I will.
Put me on the list. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That was it. You guys have a good evening.
Thank you, Pam. Any more raised hands?
Next up, we have Josh Saunders.
I wanted to mention that what I was thinking about was your demonstration of the Leafy product. And the reason why I'm mentioning that is because I'm also a user of what's called JSay. It's another product that Brian Hartchin created, and its purpose is basically I use Dragon Dictate for dictation purposes because in addition to my vision, I have some dexterity issues, and you know, as anyone else does, the JAWS has a keystroke for everything. And what JSay does is it creates a voice command for every single keystroke that exists. Like an example would be, you know, insert 8 for like reading the current line of text. You'd say speak line, for example, and there are a lot of different created scripts that just work that way to replace every keystroke that you do with a voice command. And it actually makes things very useful if you have to use Dragon Dictate or anything like that and you're visually impaired. And I just wanted to let people know about this and be aware of this unless in case it's useful to them.
That's great. Yeah. And like I said, the guy, he's just seems to have all these great ideas, and he's able to implement them too. And like I said, I didn't even scratch the surface with this Lisi thing. There's, you know, so yeah, the guy's, he's really something. And he does have a lot of training courses as well. I noticed that just today, I think he called it Excel Yourself or something like that. It's, yes, it's going to be a course on using Excel.
That's exactly what he called it.
Well, you know.
And, I can see that being really useful.
He does make the computer things easier to use. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Well, thank you very much, Josh.
Of course.
Thank you. Steve, do we have any additional raised hands?
No more at this time.
Okay. Well, if you would like to talk, please do raise your hand.
If nobody has any questions right now, I guess we could sort of talk about some of the new products that have come out, in a very brief, not a lot of detail, but, hey, there you go. It's Alice, Steve. She's got her hand raised.
Hey, I just had an idea. Listening to the question posed earlier, and then some of the expertise that I know that exists in CCB, this type of assistance in taking a look that we all do when someone contacts us to say, I know Rob gets contacted quite a bit, could you take a look at this website, give us ideas? And we may be able to modify it where we don't say that we're going to actually fix it, but we can let them know what we see as issues. That might be a service that CCB offers, and post it on the website, have a group of people that would be willing to provide that information. And then we could either ask for a donation once we're able to get that, or charge a fee. And it might be a revenue that comes in. There's a lot of talent that's in this organization. And instead of us all doing this individually, if we do it as a CCB, we can help companies and organizations, and we can help CCB. So just a thought. Thanks. Back to you.
Well, thanks, Alice. That's an interesting idea, and definitely one worth consideration. That's for sure.
Sure, use the money.
Oh yeah.
I think there were two hands raised, Steve.
Okay. I'm not seeing any raised hands on the attendee side. Are they on the folks on the panelists can just talk.
Yeah. Oh, you know, one thing it reminded me of, I was talking to Dave Jackson earlier today, and he's on. He had his hand raised briefly, but I think he's maybe doesn't necessarily want to talk. But we were talking about an old-time radio show that we both really kind of liked, and it was a show called The Bickersons, and it had Don Ameche, and I think Agnes Moorehead was the...
Francis Langford.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that.
That's anyway. Okay.
And she was very good, and it was just... I remember late at night, it would come on at like 2 or 3 in the morning. I'd wake up as a kid and have the radio under my pillow and just really got a kick out of it.
Great show. Funny, funny show. Phil Rapp wrote that. Hey, say that 5 times fast.
yeah.
But what an incredible show with excellent writers and excellent performers.
Well, if we don't have any other hands raised right now, would people like to talk a little bit about some of the new products that were unveiled at CSUN?
John, I just heard Andrea come into the meeting. She's just joined.
I'm here.
Welcome, our co-chair.
Hi guys. A new product. Yes, thank you. Thank you all. I'm here. I said I'd be here at 8:30, and I'm here. So
speaking of new products... And this is not actually putting Andrea on the spot because she knew we were going to ask her about this, but Andrea is one of the lucky people who has the new BT Speak from Blazy Technologies. And Andrea, would you like to tell people a little about it?
Sure. I'd be happy to. Hopefully my volume is okay. I have a headset on.
You sound good, Andrea.
Okay. Thank you, Rob. You sound wonderful, too. And you sure sounded good last night introducing those recordings. I was very impressed. As my friend Tom would say, you've got pipes. So, John, and help me out here, because you have one too. And do you have the Pro model or the Basic?
I have the Pro model, which I have just received very recently, and am just starting to get familiar with it.
Okay. Well, I want to share that last night I took all of my, because I'm alternate delegate, last night I took all of my notes for the meeting last night on my BT Speak. I made a couple of Braillos, as Steve Bauer would say, but I was able to fix those, and I converted the file to a text document, and it came out almost perfect. The translation worked very well. It did not work as well with the .docs format. There's still some stuff they have to work out. Basically, what this is, if you guys remember the old Braille and Speak, some of you may not, but some of you do, probably I had one in the mid-90s when I was in graduate school. It is a much smaller version of the Braille and Speak. What would you say, John? It's about 6 inches long. It's about the size of a smartphone, maybe a little bigger.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. They compare it to like the iPhone Pro Max. It probably doesn't weigh as much as your iPhone. It's probably a little bit lighter. They were making it in two models. They have now discontinued the Basic model. John, I don't know if you knew that.
They've decided that they just want to sell one model, which is the Pro model.
Right, right.
And this is the model that has all of the features. And I think they made that decision for a number of reasons. Probably the biggest one being that they'll only have to have one software package to develop for the machine. And that'll be, probably make it a little bit easier on their development team.
Yeah, so, I think you're right, because they have a small staff.
For people who want a real basic description, this is a Braille device. It has a Braille keyboard on it. It's an 8-dot Braille keyboard with the space bar, and it has speech output. It has the DeckTalk speech synthesizer in it,
and also eSpeak if you want to use eSpeak.
That's right, and eSpeak. This product is based on Linux, and it has two operating modes. It has the Linux desktop mode, and it also has what they're currently calling tablet mode. That term is probably going to change to Basic or Note Taker, or I don't know what term they'll use. But when you're in what they currently call tablet mode, the product very much resembles a Braille and Speak. It has the typical note taker functions that you would expect. It has a built-in stopwatch and calculator, time and date. I believe there is a calendar
calendar. Yep.
And there are a few other features. And then when you switch it into desktop mode, that's where you get access to Linux, and there are a number of applications. For example, they've got Thunderbird email installed. They have the
browser.
They have the Firefox browser,
Chromium, yes. Which I assume is a version of Chrome, the Chromium browser.
I believe it is. And so, for someone that wants a simple device, they can operate it in tablet mode and use it for taking notes and some of the other functions that I mentioned. And for a person who really wants to get involved with Linux and use some of the more powerful features, you can switch to desktop mode. And it's just a keystroke that allows you to switch between these modes. So it's real easy to switch back and forth if you want to.
You have to use eSpeak right now. You can actually, that's a lie. You can change to DeckTalk for desktop mode, but you have to go through a little bit of a procedure to do it. Right now, that does not allow you, except going into the preferences for the Linux, the Orca, which is the Linux, I guess the Linux speech, or the Linux accessibility system is called Orca.
GUI screen reader.
Okay. Yes. So that you have to go in there and tell it you want to change it to DeckTalk. And it's a little bit of a, they have some nice help files out there. They've got some really good people working for them. Super dedicated. Larry and John had three of those folks on Tech Talk. Dean Blasey, who is the original Mr. Blasey, who had, you know, who developed the Braille and Speak. David Goldfield, who is their, I believe, their marketing manager, but he's yes. just, he's a neat guy. And Stephen Clower, who is like their chief, kind of chief beta tester person.
Steve is also doing some programming on the BT Speak. They've got a few people that are programming, and the thing that's really neat is what they're trying to do is they're trying to provide extremely high quality customer support for this product. They want to bring back the old Blasey Engineering level of support, and so far from messages that I'm seeing on their user list, they have a Groups.io email list that people can join. I think they're doing a pretty good job of that.
They are. At first, half the time the phone just rang. It didn't answer. But I think the last time I called, I got a gal named Jess, who I think she and her husband or partner are both, his name is Derek, and they're both working for them. They're based in Colorado. I think the Dean is in Florida. They've got another guy named Ben Blatchford who works for them, who does tech support as well. They're really trying, and you pay no extra for the tech support. It's included. All your updates are included. As far as I know, they haven't said that they're going to charge, once you buy the pro unit, I believe is $11.95. Am I remembering correctly? Okay.
Yes.
Yep. I got mine about 3 weeks ago. And I'm still kind of working my way figuring out Linux. I've never used Linux before, but there's some really good documentation. They are pushing out updates quite frequently. There have already been one since I got mine, and I imagine there's another one coming fairly soon. They may not do that, you know, forever, but they're really trying to. And right now they have a fairly small user base, so it's really pretty cool. I mean, people are figuring things out as they go along. But you've got some fairly techie people out there, people like David Kingsbury and David Woodbridge and, you know, people like that who are working on these units trying to sort of figure out stuff. It's funny because David and David Goldfield did a really nice little workshop for the Florida Outreach Center, which I believe is available. I have it. If somebody wants it, I can probably get you the file.
Yeah, he put a recording out on it when it came out.
He also, there are some YouTube videos made by a guy named, what is it? His first name is, his last name is Weber, and is it Jason Weber? I'm trying to think.
It's Drew.
He's just Drew Weber. Drew Weber. Thank you. I couldn't, yes. Yeah. Who is just a user. I don't think he works for them, but he does a really good job. They're like short kind of how-to videos. I'm waiting for a little more documentation on the desktop side, only because I feel a little beyond my depth, but I think once I get the hang of it, and you can use the backspace and enter as like control and alt keys. You can, if you're writing in Braille, you have to create a BRF or BRL file in the editor. Right now, you have to, if you want to write in contracted Braille, you have to actually specify that it's a Braille file.
That's right. You have to use one of those two extensions. And the other thing, most people probably assume this, but this device has built-in Wi-Fi, and it also has built-in Bluetooth.
Yeah.
It charges via USB-C, which is really nice. And so far, with the working I've been doing with it so far, I find that the battery life seems to be pretty good.
It is. And it also has a HDMI port. So if somebody wanted to connect a monitor, say a teacher, they'd be able to see what's in tablet mode only. Apparently in desktop mode, there is currently no visual feedback on the monitor screen, but you can get it in tablet mode. It also has a micro USB, or excuse me, micro SD card slot. I have bought a card, but I haven't put it in yet. And apparently it takes up to 1 terabyte, though I did not buy. I don't see any reason to. Braille files are small. I mean, I may need a bigger one later, but I think I bought a 128. I figured that was enough to get me started. They have big plans for these units. They want to do a lot more as far as, you know, and I really liked the old Braille and Speak. I should have kept mine. I sold it, and that was kind of a mistake. I think there's still some of them out there that are still work. It was a real workhorse.
For those,
and one of the things that they're doing that I think is really nice is what they discovered was that when they originally came out with the two models, the Basic and the Pro, the main difference between the two was that the Basic unit was not able to go to the desktop. So it just had the tablet mode. And what they discovered was that most of the orders they received were for the Pro model. So when they decided that they were going to discontinue the Basic, what they told people was, if you bought a Basic between now and the end of the year, you can upgrade to the Pro model basically for just the $300 to $400 price difference there was between the two units, and they will actually pay for you to ship your Basic model back to them. They will also pay to ship the Pro model to you.
That's
so
nice.
So you actually don't lose any money, you know, having originally bought the Basic and then deciding that you'd like to have the Pro model. And I think that's just an example of their customer service and the level of commitment that they have to making sure that customers are treated fairly and get what they need.
I think they're going to get a lot of loyalty. It's little things too, like they give you a full-on USB-C charger. They don't just give you a cable. They actually give you the charger with the charging block. I know that sounds like a small thing, but a lot of companies are cutting back for buying a $5,000-$6,000 Braille note taker. Hims gave me a very cheap charger with an extremely short cord that really wasn't that useful. So I just think it's just an example of what that some companies are cutting down on that extra stuff. And that they are really providing, you know, a high level of, and they may end up with a reasonably small group. I don't know, John. What do you think? I mean, I think the people they get are going to be super loyal to, you know, whoever buys this.
I think so too.
Because they're going to stick with it. You know, they're going to see the course and stay. I really like the idea that I could put this in my purse, and literally, if it won't replace my laptop. But if I can master the desktop mode, I can do an awful lot with it. I can do email. They need to work on the translation, because when I tried to translate my Braille file to Docs, I got a blank file. And when I tried to translate it to RTF, I got garbage. The text translation came out almost perfect. Go ahead.
They definitely do have, you know, they do have some work that they need to do. But the good news is, many of the users that they have right now, the early adopters, are people who are technically oriented, and they're getting a lot of feedback and a lot of good information about the things that people want and the things that they really need to do to make this a super product. And I think that's really good. Does anybody have any questions that they'd like to ask so far?
I have a comment as well.
Okay.
This just came out earlier this week. They began a dedicated email list. So for people who don't know a lot about this product, you can join their email list, and people from the company also will monitor that email list as well. I don't recall the address. John mentioned that you probably could go to the website and find it, but it's another great resource.
Larry, that list has been around for like a month, because I got before I got... Yeah, because I was on it when I got my unit.
Then they haven't publicized it much.
Okay. Well, they do have,
Yeah, it's on Groups.io, so it's, if you want to subscribe, it's btspeak plus subscribe at groups.io, and you will get a confirmation message back that you just reply to and hit send, and you'll be on the list. And be prepared to get about 100 messages a day right now, because it's a busy list. It's active.
It's busy. And a lot of the stuff is kind of technical. So you may decide that, because people have gotten into some pretty technical discussions, which are frankly beyond my pay grade. So if, you know, you can always filter those out if you, but the people from the company are extremely active on that list. So you're seeing Dean Blasey, you're seeing Stephen Clower, you're seeing those names. David Goldfield is like, he's probably sending a third of the messages every day. So they're just, and they're nice people. They're very approachable. They're very interested. There was actually a guy on that Florida recording asking if he could somehow, basically what he wanted to do was pay for a basic unit and get a pro for free by imaging it or something, you know, to, if he could just like jury rig his own unit and make it a pro. He actually had the nerve to ask that question in a workshop. And I thought David was very nice about it. Like, why would you even say that? You know, like you're trying to get something for nothing. It was really funny. Do we have any questions, Steve?
I have a comment for Andrea. I'd like to just, I've noticed that there's a trend this year for Braille displays with QWERTY keyboards. And Orbit Research has come out with one, and HIMSS has. And I'm just wondering, can you hook a QWERTY keyboard to this BT Speak?
I believe you can. You can't yet hook a Braille display to it. They're still kind of working that out. But I think people have actually used like Bluetooth keyboards with it.
Okay.
So I think you could do that. Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
Do we have any questions from the audience?
We have no raised hands right now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Now, I did hear, I thought I heard a guest raise hands. Let me.
Yes. Yes. Actually, we do have one raised hand. Thank you, Rob. And I.
I think it's me.
Hey, Roger. Hey.
I really just want to say hello, but by way of a question, I want to know how David Goldfield can do his own list and as many things as you say he's doing on this list.
I don't know, because his list is super active.
My computer is absolutely full of David Goldfield lists.
Yeah, that's true. No, it's true. And if for anybody who doesn't know, he has this, it's tech-vi, he used to call it something else, but he changed the name, and it's a visually impaired tech aggregate. Like, he's sort of an aggregator. He posts articles and employment opportunities and all kinds of stuff. It's a very good list. If you want
it. Yes,
yeah, if you want to keep.
He lives in Elkton, Maryland, which is a funny place to live.
really keeps up on what's going on. It's sort of like the old Top Tech Tidbits, which I guess we don't see anymore. But this is, you know, this in some ways, this is even better because sure, it's a whole full articles. Oh, we do.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I used to get it. I don't get it anymore. So I guess I thought maybe it had gone away.
Nope.
But this is a really good list, and he tries to provide a pretty broad range of stuff on that list. So if you think he's a groups.io as well. I think. Does anybody know for sure?
It is. Yeah, it is. I'm pretty sure it's probably tech-vi
plus subscribe at groups.io.
Pretty sure.
And just another little plug. I think it was last week. Well, Larry, you'd know for sure, but I hosted it. I think it was last week. Jeff Bishop did the first of two presentations that Bits is going to do on groups.io. And I just learned all kinds of stuff that I feel like I'm a fairly good groups.io user, fairly knowledgeable. I find it very user-friendly, but I learned a lot.
In March, and the next one will be in May.
In May. Okay. Yes. So yeah. So
that was main menu.
And those recordings are available. I know. So
yeah, they're already up. Mm-hmm.
So that's a really good resource for finding out about groups.io. I didn't know, for example, that you could go no mail. And that, you know, that's a nice alternative if you're going out of town or something and you don't want to come back to 3,000 messages and, you know. So, yeah. So there's some great lists out there, and David Goldfield's list is definitely one of them.
Great. Well, thank you, Andrea. That's really good news about the BT Speak, and thank you for mentioning the other list too. It's always nice to know about the technology lists that are available that we may all want to participate on.
Yeah, that's true. John, have you been able to do much with the desktop side? Because I really have sort of dipped into it with my toes, but I haven't done a lot.
I have explored it a bit, but to be honest with you, I've been involved with a couple of other projects recently, and I have not had a chance to really dive into it, but I'm looking forward to it because it's going to be fun to learn about all of the capabilities that are there.
Well, maybe we can collaborate at some point and talk sure. more, and then we can present again. Maybe next year we'll know a lot more than we do now. I can talk about it again. But I'm excited.
Absolutely. Well, Rob, where would you like to go next?
There's a couple of raised hands.
Okay. Who have we got?
Sheila Gunn's hand is up.
Hey, Sheila.
Hey, yeah, I had a question that's not about your Braille device, but I saw... Now that I have work emails and home emails, and they're both disability related, and I get stuff at home that needs to go to work and
yeah.
from work that needs to go to home and yada, yada. Anyway, I'm an NVDA user. I have JAWS, but I really don't care for it. I have not ever. There's a free manual you can get, and Is Dave Goldberg the same guy that does that, or is that somebody else? And where can I get the info about that? And I would even pay for that. I'm a decent NVDA user, but I had to manually update a couple of plugins that the latest update didn't like. I use the Easy Table Navigator, and I use the Thunderbird enhancements, and I also use the System Tray one, but they seemed to like that one, so that was good. And so I was trying to figure out how to I don't like the add-on store. I like the easier one that used to be the old one, and they still have it, thankfully, because the add-on store is kind of little wonky. I mean, I can find stuff, but I always have to remember where to look for stuff in it.
Sheila, I don't, maybe somebody else here knows. I have used NVDA, but I'm not using it now. And it's David Goldfield, and I don't know if he wrote that manual. I'm not sure. Does anybody know?
The guy's name was David, but I don't remember if it was Goldfield or not.
This is a manual for NVDA?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's David Kingsbury. Could it have been? Because he's written other stuff like that.
Well, he wrote the screen reader primer, I think, or the Windows primer, I think he called it. I think he covered all
three. It just came out today, the new one. Yeah,
Yeah.
He does. Uh-huh. And the new one just came out.
He also represents himself in his signature as a certified NVDA and so forth.
Yes, that's right. You're right, Roger. I don't.
Oh, maybe that's him then.
Well, Sheila, I can put a link up on the CCBL list for people who want to download that screen reader primer because it's free. It's available and it's free.
Well, the NVDA thing was specific to NVDA, but okay.
I don't know.
I used to collect resources like that because I used to teach tech.
I don't, yeah. I don't know. I'm sorry. I really don't know.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I'd be interested in that. And by the way, Larry, I guarantee you that 50 people who are listening on the streaming stuff who can't raise their hands would tell you they want the copy of that recording thing too, and so do I. I think it's very cool. I have some friends that probably will miss this, and they would get a kick out of it. So, and I'd like a copy of it too. It's kind of fun. And really, the way they have redone those old radio shows, and I can hear the digital work that's been done on them, but that's because I'm an editor and I'm an audio editor and I can tell. And I'm near the audio editor that you guys are probably, but I edited for KPFA for 10 years. So.
Did we have another hand, Steve?
We do. Diane Harms.
Hey, Diane.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Really great presentation. Rob, I have a question for you and then a comment. So if you want to, if you need to use that great accent key for something, can you just use it, you know, instead of being...
Yeah, just press it twice quickly.
Oh, twice. Okay. And David Goldfield, I've noticed in a lot of his emails that he sends out on that Tech VI list, he'll give the links so that you can go right to the link to listen to something.
That's true.
I've noticed on a couple of the, in fact, for the BT Speak, I've noticed on a couple of them, you just go hit the link and off you go. And then, you know, you can listen to the link and learn about it.
Well, one of the people on the BT Speak email list is Myrna Voda, and I'm pretty sure she's got one just because I...
Oh, yeah. Yes,
from what I've heard, I mean, she's playing with it. So like me, is an early adopter, and we like our toys. So, but I think the website is just btspeak.org? I think it's, maybe it's not .org.
It's btspeak, I believe. I'm not sure if it's .org or .com.
No, it's not .org because it's not a nonprofit.
It's probably .com. But I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, it's something. If you could, you could Google it. I Googled it. Yeah, I Googled it.
Yeah,
so I found it.
The actual name of the company is Blazy Technologies.
Blazy Tech, I think, John.
If you Google Blazy Technologies, it'll come right up.
Yep. Okay.
Now that you say that, yeah.
Okay.
It's fun on Tech Talk. We usually just talk for about quite a while after the actual presentation and on that Tech Talk show on Monday nights, and it's a lot of fun too. We just talk about a lot of stuff and learn about things too that way, so that's fun too. And I would like Larry and John, I would like a list of the old-time radio stations when you get that ready. That'd be great.
Yeah, we're still working on it.
Oh, no problem, no hurry, but whenever you get around to it, that'd be great. Send them out. Yep.
Well, so as someone mentioned at CSUN Orbit, what do they call themselves? The Orbit Company? Is it Orbit Systems?
Is it Orbit Research?
Orbit Research. There you go. They introduced a QWERTY version of their 20-cell and also a QWERTY version of their 40-cell braille displays. And apparently those were getting a lot of interest.
They also have a product that's similar to the BT Speak that I saw. It's called the Orbit Speak.
Orbit Speak, yes.
Coming out in June. It is cheaper than the BT Speak. And I don't know if it has the desktop mode. I know it uses Nuance Voice? Because I asked them. They're using the Nuance Voices, which is nice. But I'm not sure it has all the functionality of the BT Speak Pro.
I don't know that it does. HIMS also introduced a new product called the Braille Emotion, which is a product similar to their Braille Edge. It's a 40-cell Braille display. It has built-in speech, and it is kind of some people call it sort of a stripped down version of the Braille Sense. It has Wi-Fi. I believe it has Bluetooth. It does not have email capability or a web browser, but it does have a file manager. It has a built-in editor. and it can be used as a standalone device, or you can use it as a Braille display with your smartphone or PC. And it's their latest entry into the Braille product arena, I guess we might say.
And is that a QWERTY keyboard or a Braille keyboard, John? Do you know?
I believe it's a Braille keyboard. Did anyone actually have a chance to put it down?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
It is a Braille keyboard. Sorry. Oops. It's a Braille keyboard, and it's about the same footprint as the Braillion, very similar in size. So it's narrower than the old Braille Edge.
And I think Handy Tech has come out with a new product too.
They have. I saw it, and it's Dream Vision is selling it. And it
it's
has
not the Navigator. It's something like the
Navigator. No, it's like that. That's the name.
Activator.
There you go. Diane.
And it has both. It has both a full-on QWERTY keyboard and a Braille keyboard. It has both. You lift up the Braille keyboard, and the QWERTY is underneath. It's all magnetized, so it all fits together. I saw it. Yeah, it's called the Activator. Wow. It's something.
Yeah, boy, there's so many choices nowadays.
Oh, I know.
I think the Activator is like $6,500 though.
It's
pretty expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive. Yes, it is. It would be a lovely thing to have, but it's big. It's kind of bulky, and they're not going to make it any smaller because of the QWERTY keyboard. They're limited in what, you know, the size differential. Yep. I just love my BrailleSense Mini because I actually use it more than the big one. I got the big one first, and then I got the Mini, and I don't know. I like the size. It's just so compact.
Are there any other new products that people saw at CSUN that they'd like to tell us about?
Steve, I know you're not technically supposed to talk, but did you see, because I didn't, you saw that, I want to call it the vacuum cleaner thing, and I'm blanking out on the name, but you know what I mean, that...
It's the Glide, yes.
The Glidance, yeah, right. Okay.
Well, it's called the Glide, the company is Glidance.
Okay, all right. Terry's been calling it Glidance. I just assumed that was what it was called. But you got to see it, right?
Yes. Terry actually saw more of it, quite a bit more of it than I did, but I did check it out.
Artist, I think, has a question.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, I saw the, I think what you're calling the from Guidance. Is that the one where you push it around? It kind of looks like a sweeper almost.
Yes.
Yeah, and it kind of, I used it at CSUN. I tried it, walked around the room, and it was pretty cool. It did, you know, like a guide dog does. It went around all the things, and it stopped when you were, you know, you had to stop, and, you know, then you could turn it and so forth. I thought it was pretty cool. I was asking about, they said it would probably end up costing about what a cell phone costs, you know, like smartphone, and then you'd have to have pay like a monthly fee to keep it updated or whatever.
Sure.
But it sounded kind of cool.
Yeah, our friend, a friend of Steve's and mine, Terry Almy, who has a guide dog, really liked it. She was really impressed with it. Because there's been this talk sort of, I don't know, last recent years about a robotic guide dog and stuff. And I guess this is sort of supposed to be like that, kind of.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting to see how that turns out. I believe that our mobility instructors at Vista Center up here in the Bay Area have been in touch with them, and I believe that they're going to use us as a test site.
Oh, that's cool.
When they get things a little bit farther along, so I'm really looking forward to participating with that.
One of the things I thought was I had a question about, and I didn't think about it at the time. Later, I was wondering, well, how does it navigate steps? Because, you know, obviously it was pretty level. I mean, it went over bumps and stuff like that just fine, but I didn't know, you know, I obviously would stop, but I don't know how it would
Artists, they're saying it will stop at steps, and you're meant to carry it up and down steps at this point.
It
may change at some point, but right now, I suppose you could kind of bump it down a couple of stairs, but for a flight, you'd want to pick it up and carry it. And it's not that heavy that you couldn't do that for short distances.
The other thing I saw, and I don't know what it's called, it's a guidance system that attaches to your shoes. They eclipse onto your shoes. It's still in development, and I don't remember anything about the company. We just happened to kind of see it on the way out and stopped and just briefly looked at it. But you wear one on each shoe, and it just clips, and they're like little cameras. And I guess that's another kind of, it made me think of Maxwell Smart and the shoe phone. Does anybody remember? Yeah, that stupid show. Which when I watch it now is just so dumb.
That was a great show. What are you talking about?
It's so dumb.
I agree.
That was Saturday night, I remember.
So Nellie Emerson has her hand raised.
Hey, Nellie. Hi, I wanted to be part of the discussion about the items that we saw at CSUN. I also saw that glide device, and I thought it was really unusual, and it was kind of funny that at the top of it, it had a handle that resembled the handle on a guide dog harness. And I would think, just walking around in a room with obstacles or a fairly flat surface would be pretty neat. But if you're in an area that has rougher terrain, I'm just wondering how the wheels would handle that. And also, I did see the device that attaches to the shoes. And that's pretty neat because it would indicate on either side if there's an obstacle on your left side, the device on your left shoe would activate and give you a signal. And and similarly on the other side as well. So that sounds like a fun concept, for mobility.
The real question is about the things, the cameras that hook on your shoes. Is will they go on pretty high hills, or do you have to have tennis shoes on, right?
They had them on tennis shoes. So that is a legitimate question, Sarah.
It is. Yeah. I like my heels.
Yeah, like you're gonna wear strappy heels, us girls. Are they gonna be able to?
Yeah, we're
gonna be looking at the ground.
Yeah. Hey, equity.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Hey, Rob. It's been a little bit since we've done a door prize.
Hey, good idea, Sarah. Let's do it. And we may be getting close to wrapping this up. It's after 9, so anyway, we'll see how people feel.
Is Lisa here to do the door? Is
Lisa's? I think she was here.
I am. I'm here.
Oh, cool. Okay,
I'm ready.
All right.
So we have another $25 gift card generously provided by Contra Costa Chapter. And the winner is Miss Regina Brink.
Hey,
congratulations, Miss Regina.
What is it with those Sacramento chapter people?
There's some.
And she's listening to it on Media 8, ACB cool. Media 8.
Who else won tonight? Did we have it? Is this our first one? Or did
Earl
we
Rob.
Earl Rob, yeah.
Oh, good for him. Yeah. Good. These Northern California folks. We got to get one on Sound South, Lisa.
I agree. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Trying hard.
Okay, well, it's about 10 after 9, everybody. Do we want to wrap this up here pretty quick? Any other final questions before we wrap this up? Christy has a question.
Hey, Christy.
The membership committee is inviting everyone on the pre-convention link to come to our hospitality room so please come and join us. So find your pre-convention link. Joe sent it out on the president's list. And hopefully you guys didn't get rid of it. But come and join us on the pre-convention link for the membership hospitality. Thank you.
Thank you, Christy.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Christy.
Okay, anything else?
I think I didn't get a lot of stuff that you're supposed to get. I've never heard of those lists that she's talking about.
Yeah, like I emailed you earlier, Roger, call the office and see maybe Nicole
can help
you
out. You and Andrea did tell me some stuff, and I appreciate it.
Well, Roger, I also forwarded your I forwarded your email along to Nicole so that hopefully you would get what you needed.
Well, yeah, I'm sure she's probably very busy getting
these. Just give her a call. Yeah, just give her a call.
I haven't gotten my voting instructions yet, so don't feel alone, Roger. You're not the only one.
Roger, this is Lisa. Nicole's been sick, and I don't know if you got my email earlier this morning, but I'm glad to resend it to you if you'd like.
I got yours, Lisa.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a good send, Lisa, because it contained both the convention program and the link. So
that was perfect.
That was really good. Yeah.
Good. I was trying to make it simple.
Hey guys, this is Gabe. I apologize if anyone still hasn't gotten it. Nicole did say she resent them today. So
yeah, she was in the office today.
Well, she's out sick still, but she came in just to send those.
Okay.
Yeah, she came in just to send those out because of the reports we got yesterday that they hadn't gone out. But, if you didn't get it, I guess, try to call tomorrow. Hopefully she'll be back. If not, then when it comes time for elections tomorrow, we will definitely announce a phone number where you can call to get your number case. And we're going to do that whether you got it and lost it, whether, your dog ate it, whether you didn't get it, whatever it is. But we'll make sure that you have a way, whether you got it or not, to be able to find it by tomorrow night.
Sounds good. David has his hand raised.
Hey, David.
I just want to say I want to thank you all for this wonderful, fascinating, wide-ranging technology discussion. It was fantastic. And I enjoyed the brief section of the splicing era documentary, Larry, because I was involved with splicing tape from the early 80s to the late 90s as a reporter. And I just have to say, I remember several times when I would interview people for like 10, 15, 20 minutes, and every other word or two would be, And I can't tell you what torture it was to have to find actualities or cuts that would work for them, because I didn't have time to listen to all the uhs and work on them. And when we got digital editing, it was so much easier. We didn't have to, because with splicing, we had to dub from our recorders first the actual interview, and then we had to splice. So it took a lot of time, and I enjoyed the work, and I used to come home every day with splicing tape all over, decorated with splicing tape, and my late wife would laugh at me and pull the tape off, but I enjoyed it. I think digital editing is the way to go, and as far as all the technology items that you mentioned, I just want to say I want one of everything, and thank you so much.
All right. Well, I think we'll wrap it up here. I don't think there's any other hands raised. I want to thank our committee for being helpful. And that's Andrea and I were the co-chairs. We've got Larry and John Gassman and John Glass. Those are the ones that made up the committee. So tune in again tomorrow. I think you're going to enjoy the program. And I'll say good night.